From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. New COVID-19 cases have dropped by more than a third in the last couple of weeks, but Alaskans are still getting infected and dying at rates that lead the nation. Alaska has the fourth highest case rate and the highest death rate in the United States, according to data compiled by the New York Times. The state's health department reports that Alaska's hospital capacity remains limited. It says patients can anticipate long wait times, some care may be delayed, and hospital beds may not be available. About 1 in 5 Alaskans has been infected with the virus so far. More than 800 Alaskans have died over the course of the pandemic. 54% of Alaskans age 5 and older have been fully vaccinated. In Juneau, emergency officials are relaxing some community rules intended to limit the spread of COVID-19. The changes affect indoor gathering sizes, capacity of restaurants and personal service providers, and bar hours. Masks are still required in indoor public spaces. Health officials report identifying 13 new cases in Juneau from Saturday through Monday. 3 people are at Bartlett Regional Hospital with COVID-19. One person who tested positive was infectious while they were at Saik Gassineau Elementary School. Nancy Barnes is a Tsimshian learner in Juneau. There's a sense of urgency to revitalize her language since it's critically endangered and more fluent speakers are passing. In this story, she shares how learning her language has helped her get through the pandemic.
And
one thing I like to tell people, I said there's nothing good about the pandemic. It's affected all of us. But something happened. Now, in person, the Juneau learners were getting together, maybe 8 to 10 of us at the most, in person. Once we started getting together on Zoom and advertising it on Facebook, our language community grew in leaps and bounds. The group got larger and I would say stronger because all of a sudden we had all this time. Mansandoga Dikyat Diwayu Ligi Nancy Barnes and Amshiwampsh Lakshkik Diptegu Anna Benson Barnes, Wanadi Noyu, Ada Cecil Barnes, Wanadi Nguadu, Lugal Tsimshian, Ada Alutik Nu. My name is Nancy Barnes. I'm Tsimshian and Alutik. My parents were the late Cecil Barnes of Cordova, and my mother was Anna Mae Benson Barnes, Tsimshian. And I am Lakshkik Eagle. So how has the language helped me the last, since the pandemic? I say that it has saved me in a way that it's just filled my heart. It's almost like when you start learning languages, indigenous languages, you see things a little bit different. You know, the words are so descriptive. It seems like every week when we're doing our Saturday class, I have a lot of those aha moments. And it keeps me feeling grounded is the best way that I could explain it. In a culture, language is so important. I think I'm still a toddler in the language, but you know, just it makes you see things a little bit different. I don't know if that makes sense. How many speakers are left of the Shimalgik language? That not very many, just a handful in Alaska. And that's another reason I think we're so passionate about this doing language is because we know we're in a crisis situation. You know, we've lost a few fluent speakers since the pandemic started, so, you know, really can't go gather like we would to go comfort that person, the family, because of COVID. It makes you feel empty. Yeah, there's so many few people that have died, passed away. I haven't been able to have the final farewells. I've been to a couple of Zoom memorials. It's good that we did that, but it's not the same as being there with this in person. I think that when this is over, I'm thinking you're going to just see parties galore, traditional parties and memorials and gatherings, and I think we'll just go crazy with dancing. Our ancestors were very adaptive and resilient. That's what I keep saying. Like, okay, we can't do exactly what we've been doing, but how do we get around it? And so I think it's made us stronger. And the only other thing I want to say is, if I'm going to be somewhere in this pandemic world that we're in, thank God and thank goodness that we're in Alaska.
KTOL reporter Lindsay Berlini talked to Nancy Barnes for this story as part of Next Gen Radio Indigenous, a week-long workshop from the Native American Journalists Association and NPR's Next Generation Radio Project. Alaska's coastal communities face pronounced threats as climate change creates new hurdles around the globe. The Kawalungan tribe of Unalaska recently hosted an event designed to facilitate knowledge sharing among local, regional, statewide, and national partners. KUCB's Kenesha McGlashan Price reports.
Around a dozen people sit at a row of tables in a conference room in Unalaska. They're attending a forum hosted by the Kawalungan tribe of Unalaska. Its aim is to bring coastal communities together to discuss plans to adapt to a changing climate. The tribe's resilience coordinator and environmental assistant, Shayla Shreshnikov, worked along with the tribe's environmental director to organize the 2021 Coastal Communities Forum.
The point of this event was to help share information and connect, to talk about things regarding climate adaptation planning and trying to jump ahead of some of these changes we're seeing in our environment. So that we can, you know, continue to steward the lands and practice our traditional ways of life.
The event was mainly virtual, but there were also group gatherings in Unalaska, Akutan, and Sandpoint. Presenters came from diverse backgrounds and specializations. Fisheries biologists, climate researchers, and indigenous knowledge holders discussed subjects like the changing Bering Sea climate, collapsing fish stocks, indigenous-led land stewardship, and more. University of Alaska Anchorage, Alaska Native Studies instructor Haley Honestepetin gave the first presentation. She spoke about the importance that subsistence holds to Indigenous culture.
In Unangah contexts, food exists beyond consumption and includes processes associated with gathering and preparing subsistence foods in community. Eating our foods isn't necessarily only to feed our bodies. Eating our foods from the lands and waters we have always obtained them from, we know that we are and will be healthier. Eating our native foods fills our soul up.
Lottie Lekinoff-Roll attended the group event in Unalaska. She was born there and has lived most of her life in the Aleutian community.
I learned a lot, and I care about the island and our way of life and the food my sisters, my brothers, and family catch, and they've been so kind and given to me all these years. I've been too busy working. I haven't subsistence at all.
Shreshnikov says that about 70 people participated each day during the three-day conference. She says the small group discussions and panels were a success.
But I think the biggest thing that a lot of us are taking away from this is that need to connect with other people, other communities, other entities, and continue to really work together on these things. And then in doing so, we can gain new perspectives, new ideas, and I think that's the most effective way to move forward.
Reporting from Unangam Tanungan, I'm Kenesha McGlashan Price.
A scientist who used fossils to trace the evolution of whales from land to sea mammals spoke Wednesday at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Hans Tewissen discovered the first fossils that showed that the oldest whales could walk on land. KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
Hans Tewissen, a professor of anatomy at Northeast Ohio Medical University, says unexpected discoveries during a fossil hunting trip to India and Pakistan in the early 1990s helped unlock the story of how whales dramatically transitioned tens of millions of years ago.
Suddenly we had these intermediate forms that didn't look anything like whales, and yet they were related to whales.
Tewissen says whales' evolution can be traced because they have consistently unique ear structure.
Part of the anatomy that allows you to recognize it. So that goes for modern whales and fossil whales all the way back to 50 million years ago.
Tewitson says the ear structure in fossils enabled researchers to connect modern whales with their very different looking ancestors.
There's whales that look like otters. There's whales that look like crocodiles. There's whales that look like seals. There's whales that look like wolves.
Tewitson says whales in their present form took shape about 40 million years ago.
And then once we hit on, you know, sort of the modern body form, you know, the sleek, streamlined body with flippers or forelimbs, no hind limbs, and then a triangular fluke at the end of the tail that they use for locomotion. Once we hit on that form, everybody goes extinct, and that's the only form that survives.
Tewitson says fossils provided keys to whales' dramatic transition from land to sea.
For instance, we figured out what they were drinking. How could you do that from a fossil? You know, we looked at the chemistry of the bones, and it could tell us that at this point they're drinking fresh water, at this point they're drinking seawater. So that's really remarkable. That kind of stuff, those kinds of questions we can only answer because we have such a good fossil record.
Tewitson underscores the responsibility humans have to ensure our behavior does not result in whales going extinct. Tewitson has studied whales in Alaska and has colleagues at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, where he's this year's Irving Sholander Lecturer. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
And finally, a Utah doctor is accused of lying about ill patients in his climbing party to get a helicopter rescue off Denali last spring. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Alaska has charged Dr. Jason Lance of Ogden, Utah, with interfering with and violating the order of a government employee and for filing a false report. He's accused of lying about climbers in his party being in medical shock and suffering from early hypothermia in order to get a high-altitude helicopter to retrieve them. He's also accused of violating a direct order and deleting messages from a satellite communication device before handing it over to a ranger. His virtual arraignment is set for December 6th. That is it for the KTOO News Update for Monday, November 15th, 2021. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.